Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. And today we are talking with a variety of singer-songwriters. Steve Poltz will be with us a little later in the day, coming up sooner than later. Michael McDermott and Heather Horton. Christy Jackson, the new marketing director of South Lake Mall, will be in the studio to talk about some of the big Christmas programs. And there's a big concert coming up at Memorial Opera House featuring the singer-songwriters I just mentioned. So we're going to talk all about the fundraiser, their talents, and so much more. You'll hear plenty of music as well. And we have with us Charles Snyder. He is a public relations specialist of housing opportunities. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you.
We also have Rob Harkle in from Brightside Music. And Brightside is the one of the promoters that does a lot of shows at Memorial Opera House. Rob, an old friend and a frequent guest here. How you doing?
Good, Tom. Thanks for having us.
You are the guys that are putting the show on November 18th. Rob, let's start with you as how Brightside got involved. You are obviously the liaison somehow between the Opera House and Housing Opportunities.
Well, you know, Tom, I've lived in Valpo for 50-plus years. It just seemed like Housing Opportunities is something I've been aware of off and on over the years. Seems like they do a great job in the community trying to help people that are kind of down on their luck a little bit. And it just seemed like, you know, a good partnership to try to do something. And we're encouraging everybody to bring a non-perishable food item. I met with them a few weeks ago and learned more about the organization. There was a lot, frankly, I didn't know about it. And it's just an amazing place that provides a lot more services than people realize as far as trying to help people get back on their feet. The food pantry is a constant challenge to keep that stocked and keep that replenished, which I'm sure probably is in every food pantry in Northwest Indiana. But it just seemed like a good choice, a good cause, and we're excited about it, and we're excited that they're interested in doing it.
Now, Charles, you are the public relations specialist with Housing Opportunities. Like Rob, I had not been too familiar with you. I've heard the name, but I don't know what you do. What do you do? Let the public know.
Yeah, so Housing Opportunities provides housing for the homeless, helps families keep their homes, and coach sustainable lifestyles. We are based in Valparaiso. We also have an office in Michigan City, though. And so we just offer a variety of programs. We have temporary housing for people that are coming from another shelter or are chronically homeless, and so they could stay in our units for up to 6 months. And then hopefully we could get them into another program. So everyone in our programs has access to case management when they're in our temporary housing, and they also have offers from food pantries as well.
How long has Housing Opportunities in Valpo been around?
We've been around since 2005, and yeah.
You're like a best-kept secret there.
Yeah, we're getting our name out there.
Yeah. Is homelessness really a big problem in Northwest Indiana? We don't see it as often as you do in some other cities. I was in San Francisco, for instance, a few years ago, and they literally have homeless people on every block, on every corner, of all different races, ages, genders. It was horrific to see these people out there like that. Now, you don't see that in Valparaiso. Is it a big problem?
Yes, it is. That's actually one of our biggest challenges that we try to get out into the community more. Mm-hmm. We actually have a project that was going around, art installation called the Invisible Project, which captured some stories of homeless people in the area. Because that's one thing you don't see. You're not walking through downtown Chicago and seeing everyone sitting on the streets. Mm-hmm. So the people that are homeless, you know, they might be in a bus stop. They might be around. You could be sitting amongst them while at a movie theater, and you just don't know. So it's just, they are here. There's homeless people everywhere, and we want to just make sure we can help them get that knowledge out there.
And how does someone seek help with you? Do they have to be referred by someone? Can they just walk in off the street and say, hey, I need help? How does this work?
Yeah, a lot of times people just look around, come in the doors, because we do have our name out there. There is a number to call as well, where if you are homeless or you're struggling through different things, you can get that resource information to come in. And so we invite anyone that is homeless to come in, and they take an assessment, and we actually work along with all the other shelters in the area. So those people that are placed that take an assessment are then placed on a priority list, mm-hmm. and then that information is shared to all the other shelters in the area so we can make sure we get the homeless into a shelter as quick as possible.
Now, let's say somebody loses their job and they're on the verge of being homeless. They're having a hard time making ends meet. Either they can pay the mortgage or they can feed their family. Do you try to be the mediator in something like that where they can try to keep their home by maybe getting them the food they need so they can push their money towards the mortgage?
Yes, of course. We actually have housing counselors on staff to counsel people if they are having problems like that, because we want to make sure we prevent people from becoming homeless. That's a big problem, is to stop the problem before it happens. Mm-hmm. So we offer housing counseling, rental counseling, budget counseling, foreclosure prevention.
This fundraiser that's going on November 18th at Memorial Opera House, we're asking for non-perishable food items. So the food pantry portion is benefiting from this. Can people drop off clothes or coats or shoes or anything else?
So we do work with a lot of other places. Our food pantry is only for our clients, but we house a lot of clients. Just this year, we've housed 223 children and 403 adults. Mm-hmm. So the food pantry is a huge resource, and we don't put any of our own dollars into it. So everything's based on the community bringing in. So we really would love to get food products, paper products, laundry detergent, soaps. Those are all needed items. And as far as the clothing donations, we just work with other organizations in the area for that, because we don't have a lot of room to store. So if someone prefers to specialize in clothing, we want to let them do that. So items we do take in quite often would be sheets, bath towels, bedding, blankets, dishes, dishware, because those, as soon as we have someone come in, we know we can get those out to them.
How many units do you have? How many families can you put up? You said a six-month maximum. Mm-hmm. How many units do you have? How many people can you help at once?
At our main office, Spring Valley, we have 24 units. Two of those are a women's overnight shelter, and we actually have a day program too. And then 12 of those units are temporary units, and the rest are affordable rentals. Mm-hmm. But then all over, you know, Northwest Indiana, essentially, we have over 150 units.
Wow.
They're not marked housing opportunities, because we want to make sure that people don't see that name and think, oh, they're homeless, and put all of that extra
stress
onto them.
That's got to be hard, especially when it's not through your own fault.
Right.
You know, you're laid off, you're fired, something happens, your company relocates. What is the leading cause of homelessness? Is it shutdowns of businesses?
That's hard to tell. And that's information we try to track every year. But it could be divorces, and, you know, maybe you didn't have a job before. You were stay at home, and so you don't have those skills to get a job immediately. Or it could be, you know, a death of a family member or a loss mm-hmm. of a job. It is a wide mix.
Is there a age demographic that is more common to be homeless? Are you seeing more of the elderly homeless or more single women with children?
One would think, but the average age of homelessness in Porter County, at least, is mm-hmm. 9 years old.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that just takes my breath away. So there's a lot of kids really needing your help.
Yes.
This is a really important situation.
It really is.
And with winter coming on, do you see more and more people coming for help? Because obviously we have some pretty brutal winters in the Midwest.
Yeah, that helps. We have a daytime shelter for women, and then if they do have children, they're allowed to come in at that as well. And during the winter months, we see that being utilized a lot more than mm-hmm. the summer.
Wow. Rob, who are we going to have on first? Who will be calling, or who will we be calling? We've got some great singers coming into the show today. Michael McDermott, who has been here in the past. Also Heather Horton, his wife. They are singer-songwriters. They're going to be performing with the full band on November 18th at Memorial Opera House. Again, a fundraiser to help out housing opportunities of Valparaiso. Opening the show will be Steve Poltz, and he's got some interesting stuff. I've talked to Steve in the past. He's got a great Elvis story, speaking of children. When he was just a child, he met the King of Rock and Roll. I'll see if I can get him to share that one. And who are we going to have first, Rob?
I think Michael McDermott is expecting our phone call.
All right. Well, we're going to get Michael on the phone, and we're going to play a song. How about Getaway, which is on his new album, Willow Springs. This is a fun song. It name drops John Dillinger. Michael McDermott, check it out. We'll talk to Michael on the other side.
Thought they had me up in Crown Point, like they had Johnny years ago. I thought they had me surrounded. It's one thing that they didn't know, that I had me a plan, and I'm not as dumb as I look. This bird ain't meant for caging. I'm no falling angels are. I gotta get away. Seemed I was doing north of 90 by the Mason-Dixon line. I had a road map of Rhode Island, but I was cornered in a cornfield in Caroline. Boxed in back in Branson, had a safe house in Tennessee. I keep a Polaroid on the dashboard of a baby boy who looks a lot like me. Well, tonight I'm bound for glory, drinking lightning from a jar.
Car, but we won't let him get away. Michael McDermott, that's off his latest album, Willow Springs. It's been out, I want to say, maybe a year, Rob? Is that about right?
Yeah, I think it's about a year.
And a full band project, as opposed to the singer-songwriter stuff, good stuff. Willow Springs made my top 10 in the Times when it came out last year. Michael, are you with us?
I am.
Good song, as always, one of my favorites off the album and one of my favorite albums of your catalog. And that says a lot because I've been a fan for many years.
Thanks, Tom. And how you doing, Rob?
I'm good, Michael. How are you? I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
I know, you too. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm in Wayne, New Jersey. I don't recommend it to anybody. I was like, and I got this hotel for two nights, and I was saying to myself, I was like, Jesus, 2 days in Wayne. And then all of a sudden I went, hey, that's a good song title.
There you go.
Anyway, looking forward to the show, though. Is it the first time I played the Opera House with the band?
The Westies, didn't he? Didn't you do the Westies?
Yeah, I think you did Westies once, and you might have been here with the band. You've been there several times. You did the Springsteen tribute show. Yeah, you did for a Respite House benefit. And then, of course, you and Heather have done two or three duo things there. You've been very supportive of everything we've tried
great,
to do with the Opera House.
But I've wanted to do this series of yours for a long time, so I'm just thrilled to do it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you, and it's going to be a benefit for also for housing opportunities. We're encouraging everybody to bring a non-perishable food item, and we're going to try to replenish the food pantry a little bit here.
Oh, good. Excellent work.
Now, Michael, you made a lot of waves with the Westies when you put the band together. Everybody was talking about it. There was a big buzz on it. How is the Westies different than the Michael McDermott band? Is there any crossover musicians? What's the focus between the two?
Yeah, we try to keep them separated. And, you know, the Westies, we put out two records in the interim of the down period of my solo stuff. And I kind of was thinking that that might be the direction of things, but then Willow Springs came out, and then everything kind of changed with that. It kind of put me back on a lot of radars, and so right now it's been kind of more solo-driven, but artistically, I think it's just more of the felonious songs go with the Westies, you know, more of the crime-driven topics, kind of go there. So anytime there's a song like that of nefarious nature, I put it over kind of in the Westies pile. Those songs don't come as often as the other ones, but so it's a little slower process. But Heather is kind of very she's, you know, she's on me about kind of not letting the Westies just kind of fade into obscurity. So we're definitely going to try to keep that going.
And as far as the infamous songs and topics, for those that are listeners, the Westies were an Irish street group, correct? Originally, or street
they
gang,
were.
I should say, street gang.
They were a gang, street group. Could be like a corner sharp quartet or something. No, they were criminals, and so anything kind of you know, that's always been part of my, you know, brain. And like, you know, Getaway Car. It's funny, like, you know, my dad grew up right by the Biograph Theater where Dillinger was murdered. My dad was like 7 years old, so it's kind of like a very kind of important momentous occasion for him growing up. It was, you know, kind of made it quite an impact on like a child, as it would. So like, I kind of grew up thinking that he spoke Dillinger, so I kind of thought it was like a distant relative. So I kind of grew up thinking like Uncle Johnny Dillinger, you know, he's my uncle. He got murdered by the police, you know, the lady in red betrayed him. Like, it was kind of like he was a part of like family mythology, and it was not until later I was like, you know, he wasn't a relative. I was like, oh, really? So I think that kind of set my own life on a trajectory that probably didn't need to be. And so, because I thought that was part of like my upbringing.
Now, with the full band show you're bringing to Memorial Opera House, are you focusing strictly on Willow Springs? Will you be going back into your solo catalog and doing band versions of some of those songs? How are you doing?
We're
What's the repertoire?
Yeah, we're going to be doing covering everything, really. You know, there's going to just be a wide array of tunes, and we're going to be trying out a bunch of new stuff, too, because I have a record coming out in April, and so we're going to be, testing some of the stuff. So it'll be exciting on that. It'll be very, you know, because songs kind of got to get their asses kicked a little bit live before they before they come out, I think, you know, and it's important. I think it's important in the process. But I'm on the road now and testing some of the stuff, and it's fun. It's very, you know, it's my favorite part of the show is, you know, trying to do this new stuff. But you know, the songs you're familiar with and stuff, that anchors down and makes it just better entertainment experience all around.
Well, Willow Springs is a unique contribution to your catalog because you have your own studio now. You recorded at home. You're in the suburbs. You've left the urban life, so to speak. You've had a lifestyle change, and I think it reflects in the music on Willow Springs. What's the new material shaping up? Is it even more positive focus? Because this is a pretty happy album, actually, considering some of your earlier stuff.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's funny. I was playing some friends at the show last night. After the show, I was had the headset on, a few of them testing some stuff on it, and a friend of mine was like, "Wow, I didn't think you were going to go bigger on this album," and I said, "Oh, well, yeah, I guess it wasn't, because, you know, I kind of got it, you know, the very Americana. This record put me on the map of the Americana people, so to speak, and so it's it probably would have been wise for me to just stick to that." But as you know, Tom, you've known me a long time. I'm not wise, and so I kind of, you know, I'm kind of swinging for the fences a little more, and so it's resilient, you know, and obviously the climate of the world is, you know, it has an effect on that, so it's kind of a resistant a call to arms a bit, and you know, not political necessarily, but just in terms of, you know, there's politics that, you know, transcend the political landscape, you know, the politics of relationships and politics of your communities and stuff that that doesn't have to do with, you know, Republican or Democrat, but it's kind of a more of a philosophical thing. And so I think, you know, I think it's a very strong record. I think it's a very hopeful record, actually.
Now, are you doing more collaboration when you write? You've always written on your own, but now that it's a group project, now that you and Heather are doing so much more together, are you finding you're leaning on her as more so? And are you writing with some of the band members?
No, I'm still an isolated man.
Okay.
As Johnny Cash would say, I'm a solitary man. So Heather's, you know, got her own project. She just made an amazing record, and that just came out. And so she's got her hands full doing that. And, but, yeah, so, you know, we're very strong head and stubborn people. So it's not necessarily, there's a lot of, when you got two very strong personalities in a room, sometimes it doesn't necessarily work so great in a working relationship. So we kind of know, we've learned that about each other and kind of allow each other to have the freedom to kind of go at our own pace. And so, that's it.
Now, you mentioned a new album in April. Are you already demoing songs? Or are you waiting till they breathe a little on stage and then taking them in and demoing?
Well, most of it's recorded. Very little is left to be recorded. Yeah, so... But mixing is going to start in next week in Nashville, and I have, I'm home on Monday, so I have probably got another few days before it's kind of done. So, but it's good. It's songs do evolve, and so no matter how many times you play them, they're always going to change from what you For me, I like to change things up. So as soon as you record them, they almost I'm already doing alternative versions to a record that hasn't even been completed yet. I already know I'm going to record it this way, but live, I know live it's going to work this other way because it won't, I just know. I've just been doing it so long, I know what would work and what won't.
Is the studio band the same as the live band that you bring into Opera House, or do you have special guests? Do you use session players? What's the format?
Yeah, well, so most of the record is done remotely, which is kind of the way to do it nowadays, and it's great. And, remember the... there's a thing about going into a studio that is very exciting and exhilarating. But, remember the old Brady Bunch when the TV light goes on, and I don't remember if it was Cindy or Peter or whatever, but one of them got kind of like, stuck mentally. Mm-hmm. They were just kind of, they saw the red light. I mean, there's a lot of pressure in the studio, and like being able to do this and, send, and so to answer your question, Stephen Gillis plays drums on the record. He'll be there. And so I use some of the guys, and some of it, like Will Kimbrough's been kind of a very important guy musically for me. So Will and I work together remotely, we speak and, talk about things and pass each other stuff back and forth. So, it's some of the record people, but, not everybody.
Okay. You mentioned being a solitary man, but you have always, I shouldn't say always, but have often leaned on Lex Price as a producer, as a co-producer.
Yes.
Will he be working with this as well?
He's going to be—he's mixing it and probably playing a little bit on it. Yeah, so he's always involved on some level, and he's out with Leanne Womack right now. That's so he's a busy guy, we're actually in the process of moving, and I was going through old boxes, and I found this old budget from my first record, and I started going through it and seeing the prices, and the grand total for the budget was $248,906. It was like a quarter of $1 million. I mean, that's just amazing. And that's kind of why the industry failed, is because, they were spending so much money. It's just amazing. And, now you can make a record for 15.
Right. Yeah. And that was back in what, the 80s, late 80s?
91.
91?
91, yeah.
Wow. You've come a long way since Wally Must Climb, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I have. I've lived a few lives. I got a couple left, though.
I've got to wonder, given the fact that you and Heather are so deep into the arts and so talented in so many ways, how's Willie developing as an artiste in her youth?
Yeah, it's funny. She was taking piano lessons. She's quit twice now, which is great. Rock and roll rebellion attitude. Like, I don't need these lessons. But I don't know. Literally, she gets up and turns on music, which is kind of drives me crazy because, a lot of it's Ariana Grande and a lot of people that, they're mm-hmm. talented in their own ways, but it's just, very hard to hear at 6 a.m.
Right.
every day. And I keep saying, she's going to ruin my songwriting, because this stuff seeps into my head. But she loves it, but I don't know if she's going to pursue that kind of thing.
How old is she now?
She's seven.
Okay. All right, so she's getting a good early start, but quitting twice already by seven. Huh? You're going to have a rebel on your hands, I'll tell you.
I know. It was funny. I was in D.C. the other night, and this woman came up to me after the show, and she said, and she was English, and she said, "How old is Rain?" And I said, "She's seven." And she said, and the woman said, "8 years old. Can you believe it?" And I said, "Oh, no, no, she's actually seven." And she's like, "8 years old." And then she looked at her husband and said, "Could you believe Rain's 8 years old?" And I said, "No, she's seven." And then she's like, 8 years, where does it go? And I was like, oh, my God. What is I wanted to slap her. Jesus.
Now, are you out? You mentioned you're in Jersey now, right, at the moment?
Yeah.
Are you out on your own as a solo act? Are you doing the full band thing?
I am. No, just me, and I have a piano player, too.
Okay.
It's a duo, yeah.
And is Heather out on her own supporting her Don't Mess With Mrs. Murphy album?
She's not. She came over to England a few weeks ago with me and did a week over there because her record company's over there. And so that was great to have her out and seeing her doing her own shows and stuff. And, you know, she's getting her groove back, and it's great to see. And the records are really a bold, beautiful album, and I'm just so proud of her for doing it.
How was the European tour? You just got back from that. Most of your fall was spent in Europe. What's your market like there versus the States? Is it bigger, smaller, you know, the same?
I think it's, you know, it's, I think it seems bigger to me, which is great, you know, but everything's just been a lot better. I mean, I got to tell you, it's been, you know, I've been doing this a long time, as you know, and it's like the first time I'm actually like kind of profiting money. It's been literally 25 years of just kind of, you hope to break even. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. It's a dedication of just like, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people, you know, go by the wayside, you know, they're selling real estate now, you know, but cause it's a grind. And so,
right.
You know, it's just, it's resilience really. It's like not having any other feasible options in life, you know, So it's been good, and over there it's just been amazing, really. It's just been this whole new birth of my career, really. It's unbelievable.
You've been touring Europe for a good many years. In fact, that's where you and Heather actually kind of hooked up, correct? She was in your band.
We did, yeah.
You were in Italy, as I recall, and over a glass of wine or something, love started. I mean, it's...
I was just trying to impress her and said, hey, I'm doing it. I was in Italy. I'm like, I'm coming back in May. You should come with me. And then we got married.
That's just such a great romantic story. I love that.
Yeah, it was. And then we did a show the night we got married. That was our honeymoon.
Wow.
We had a show to do.
Willow Springs, we were talking about how it was a different turn for you. And I think a lot of it had to do with the songs themselves. You went through a lot in a short time. You had a baby. You lost your dad. Mm-hmm. You dealt with sobriety. You know, you and Heather really bonded closer than ever, probably the most important relationship in your life. And all of this came together in a short time, and it reflects in the music. Now, with the new album you were talking about and the new songs, are you still drawing on that source for material, or is something new driving the music?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tom. And I try not to think about what I write, believe it or not. You know, I just try to let it happen. And a lot of the stuff, because, you know, as you get sober and you put some sober time in, your biology changes and a lot of your memories come back. And, you know, the reason you abused yourself in the first place was because you wanted to forget stuff. But that stuff comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's certainly a part of it still. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. I've tackled some things because, you know, sometimes just trying to go to sleep and I'll have this flashback of, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, like it all seems like a dream or some bad movie I watched once, but it was my life, you know. But, you know, the funny thing about this and the shadow in the window, about my dad dying and Butterfly, about addiction, you know, and it's funny that these people, and I was, for a while, I was very confounded why people responded to that, because what do they know about stealing cars? What do they know about drugs or whatever? But, you know, it's addiction, and we're all on the spectrum on some level, whether it's food or television or porn or, you know, whatever. I mean, everyone's on there somewhere. You know,
right.
We all have things we rely on a little too much. And that's what it occurred to me, and it gave me great comfort that it's not me. It's, you know, it's not, I'm not alone in this. We're all part of the same community, and we all have these things. So that's, it was, for a long time, I just couldn't figure out why someone would like a song like Junkie Girl. But, you know,
which is the song that turned me on to you. When our mutual friend Neva played me your album, I says, God, that song impacts me. Because we've all known people like that.
Right, right, right. So that's the thing you realize in recovery. We're not unique. You know, we all think, oh, no one understands what I'm going through. But no, we're all going through it. So everybody gets it. You know?
Is Junkie Girl in the repertoire? I hope it is.
You know what? If you come to the show, it will be.
Okay.
We do it. We don't do it a lot, but if you're coming for real, we'll do it.
Okay. I am definitely planning on being there then. Again, that's okay. November 18th. It's a fundraiser to help out the Housing Opportunities Organization in Valparaiso. We've got Charles Snyder, the public relations specialist from the organization here. He was telling us about all the good they do. And,
good.
Rob, how do they get tickets? What's the best way?
The best way would be to... go to MOH, Memorial Opera House, mohlive.com, or call the Memorial Opera House box office, which I'm ashamed to say I don't have the phone number handy here for. But I would say call the Memorial Opera House box office or just go to mohlive.com. I think we have about 300 tickets sold so far. There are a few seats left. But
what's showtime?
Showtime will be 7:30. Steve Pultz will take the stage at about 7:30. And we're anticipating Michael and his band taking the stage probably about 8:15, 8:20, something like that.
All right. And the Memorial box office is 219-548-9137. That's 548-9137. Call them for tickets. Go online at MOH Live. I'm sure you can go to michaelmcdermott.com as well. It's actually michael-mcdermott.com.
Right.
And there's probably a lot of links and things there to shows and lots of stuff on this website. I love your website.
Oh, thank you. I still get people, you know, friends go like, you know, hey, what time are you going on tonight? Or like, hey, what's the address of the place you're playing tonight? I just, my response is always the same. Google it.
Right, right. You're really big into videos. There's a lot of videos on your site. You've always been very creative and not like a typical music video per se, but you make little vignettes, little film noir kind of things are just really nice. Now, who directs it? Do you create those? Are you a visual kind of artist as well?
I'm a little visual. I love to let the real visual people do their thing. I hate to, you know, I don't have every idea planned, but I always give them a place to start. And then, you know, I got to give credit where credit is due. So a lot of that stuff is the directors, you know, and, but yeah, I'm not totally hands on, but I definitely kind of have an idea how it should look or whatever. So I appreciate that you saying that.
Now, are you already updating the website with songs from the next album and or videos? Are you working in that way yet? Are you releasing anything?
Not yet. Us?
Okay.
No, yeah, not yet. So it's, you know, those things, they got to all be kind of coordinated, which is, you know, I wish I could, I mean, I'm so excited. I'd love to put out stuff every day, you know, but, you know, you got to, you know, because, you know, it's so hard to keep people's attention in a very ADA society. So,
right.
So you just got to do it all at once. You get one chance to get their attention. So it's got to be very calculated.
Well, Michael, we're going to let you go here in a sec. We've got your wife waiting, and you know we don't want to keep her waiting. She's on the other line.
I love her.
And we'll tell her how much you miss her. Now,
yeah.
We want to play one more tune off this album, Willow Springs. And you mentioned both Butterfly and Shadow in the Window. Butterfly about addiction, Shadow about your dad. Which one would you like us to play?
Well, so you could talk to Heather longer. I'll say Butterfly because it's about 3 minutes shorter. You'll get 3 more minutes with my wife.
All right. You travel safe, and we will see you November 18th.
You guys can't wait.
Travel safe. Okay. See you next week, Michael.
Good talking to you, buddy.
You too. Thank you.
Goodbye. This is Michael McDermott's Willow Springs and Butterfly. When we return, his better half.
Junkie girl in my world, and everything began to twirl and spun so that I couldn't even stand. She had many charms, I heard alarms. She stuck needles in my arms, and I guess that's when the trouble began. Days and nights, city lights, empty bags and broken pipes, and slowly things got completely out of hand. Oh my God, how far did we fall to get to where we are? In the dark, it's not always easy to see the light. Was it just because ivy bars, there were wolves and there were scars, There were guns and sex and punches to my head. The sun would rise with your alibis. You look around with scornful eyes. How the time flies when you're high and horrified. Some would call it grace. I think it's just a waste. A waste of mind, a waste of heart, a waste of time. I laughed when she said we should both be dead. 'Cause baby, no one makes it out alive. So honey, will you take me home? I've nowhere to go. I'm sorry this all began. So honey, will you take me home? It's an endless road. I'm a butterfly in your hand. The day I wish I had the faith to pray, but maybe she finally doesn't hurt. And here's the thing about hope, it's such a delicate rope, and if you pull too hard you'll wind up in the dirt. It's only one life to live. Take what you can't give. Live it for the grace of God. Go I can't believe it's true that I'm here talking to you. 'Cause I don't know how I made it out alive. Yeah, I don't know.
Michael McDermott, good stuff there. That is Butterfly. And that's off Michael's latest album, Willow Springs. And they're going to be coming, Michael and his full band, including his lovely wife, Heather Horton. They're going to be at the Memorial Opera House November 18th. And it's a fundraiser for the Housing Opportunities of Valparaiso, who help folks that are homeless and in need of all different ages. And we were talking earlier with Charles Snyder, the public relations specialist with the group, and he was saying the average age is 9 years old for homelessness in Valpo. That's just unacceptable, unbelievable. And Charles, real quick, jump on. How can people, besides bringing food to this event at Memorial Opera, how can the public help you rectify this problem? Because that's terrible.
Yeah, we would love to have people, if they're ever interested in learning more, come into Housing Opportunities and have a tour, and we can show you everything we do, give you more information, and get you involved, whether it's volunteering through a variety of projects, or even the best way to give help is to help us keep doing what we're doing and by donating money to us and helping us end the cycle of homelessness.
Wow. I got to tell you, it's mind blowing to me to hear some of the statistics you were talking about. And how do they reach you? Is there a website?
www.hoi.help, H-E-L-P, or our number is 219-548-2800.
And the show on November 18th, again, if you're coming, please bring some non-perishable food items to help out the cause. And pick up, I'm sure you're going to have some brochures there, some
yes.
information. Pick up some items there and learn how you can help, because these are your neighbors of Northwest Indiana. On a brighter note, we have a very lovely, gifted, and talented woman joining us, Heather Horton. How are you?
Wow. Well, I was great until I started listening to statistics and whatnot and the causes. But, you know, I mean, I just literally, like 20 minutes ago, got done telling a friend that I don't need anything. Mm-hmm. I don't need anything. You know, we're just talking, just, you know, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. But I really, I mean, if you have a shelter, love, and food, you don't need anything. And when I hear those statistics mm-hmm. amongst, you know, thousands of other statistics that, you know, fortunately are really coming out and really being, you know, highlighted these days in you know, the mass confusion and turmoil of what's going on in the world, but most of all, I'm not going to sugarcoat, but in our country, you know, we're all like turning rocks over and discovering new statistics mm-hmm. every which way we go. And yeah, I hear your voice and your tone, and I know you well enough to know how sincere you are with the way you feel about people and animals. And I mean, to think of the suffering that goes on and average age 9, and then you think about what's going on the other side of the world, it's endless, and there's no reason for it. So, yeah, on a lighter note, maybe you didn't want to bring me in here because I'm not all right now. I got to tell you, I'm sitting in front of a fireplace. You know, like, I have the best life in the world. My hands right now are soiled with dirt and soot, and I'm the luckiest girl alive. And listening to you and hearing that my husband misses me, I mean, who could have designed a better life?
Right. Huh? You and Michael have created your own unique fairy tale in so many ways. For those that that maybe don't know you personally, but if you read the biographies and you read, as Michael was saying, mm-hmm. the love story that nurtured, the support you guys have given each other, you with his life, him with your music, and of course, Willie Rain in the middle of that, this beautiful baby girl that is following, it sounds like, in your footsteps, if you can keep her on the piano. I don't know if you were listening at that point when he was talking about Willie quitting piano a couple of times.
Oh, no, I didn't get to hear that part. But yeah, she keeps quitting, but I won't force her to take it. So she's at the point where she's almost begging me again, mm-hmm. and that's a really good point to be. When I was a little kid, I was, you know, it was almost like a punishment. I played music to communicate, and I was like, it was just like my language. And I used my piano, you know, we had one in the house, and I just listened to records. I sang like every which way I thought in harmony, literally. And it was like my way to cure anything that was going on with me. But once I was forced to do anything, then you just don't want to. That's with anything. That's with baseball. That's with, you know, mm-hmm. coloring, anything. So I need her to have music as a friend and as an outlet to get any bad feelings or demons out or anything as she's, you know, going through her life, just like I did, because it saved my life and it saved Michael's. It saves a lot of people. It saves people's lives that don't play instruments.
People don't realize the power of music. The healing power of music, whether you play it or listen to it mm-hmm. or do concerts like the one on the 18th, which is raising food to help people. In some way, music connects us all and really makes a difference in society. And whether you're getting a message out, whether you're doing an event that raises money, brings in food, whether you're doing it for cathartic, therapeutic reasons, as many of our musician friends do that are having crises in their lives, it's just such a beautiful piece of art. And you and Michael together have created some amazing music. And a lot of people know Michael, but a lot of people may not be so familiar with you. So I do want to focus on the reason and why this was a good time within the last year or so to release your mm-hmm. album, Don't Mess With Mrs. Murphy, and the approach you took with it. I mean, you've been working with Michael and his band for so long. This is entirely your deal, your baby.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say thanks, and thanks for thinking of me, and thanks for appreciating me. But you know, I was doing this for a long time, just kind of chasing my tail, because it was literally all I knew how to do was make music and write music and just play music. Just it was just the way I was programmed, and to communicate, to think, to feel. And so, yeah, it was a natural thing for me to want to do that for a living. I couldn't, you know, I've taught lessons here and there. I went to college, majored in music, then changed to minor, then didn't have any music at all. Because really, I just, I needed it for survival. And again, like, I didn't want to have to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know. But fortunately, it sustained my life from the time I was, you know, I left home to college at 17, but I started, you know, I didn't sing. I know nobody knew that that's what I was going to do. I did since I was five. I was going to be Karen Carpenter, as far as mm-hmm. I was concerned.
That's a great role model, really. I mean, a lot of people dismiss her, but she was so gifted.
She's just, I mean, she just is the most wholesome, round thing. Like, this kind of encompasses so many different genres of music, and we don't even realize it.
And a hell of a drummer, too.
Well, oh, yeah, he was. he wasn't my favorite, but she's my favorite. I'm just giggling because Michael and I saw a documentary recently, and I think he really misses her, is what's going on. So uh-huh. I'll just leave it at that. But misses his sister. So, but yeah. So I did the whole thing, you know, went out, moved to Minneapolis, and brought my violin. That got me in the door everywhere. But I was really a singer, and so I got in other doors that way. And I didn't use any casting couch. I just used the violin as a door. And so it was kind of confusing because I was a girl alone and, you know, wandering around Minneapolis. I even turned Prince down and the fear that I would be asked to use the casting couch because he was my everything. I didn't want to not like him. That's
right.
Another long story, but he's still, you know, he's in my DNA and my psyche every day of my life. But I moved to Chicago and I just, again, chased my tail. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no guidance. And then I just kind of accidentally, well, Michael accidentally happened upon one of my gigs that I was fronting. His lawyer brought him, actually, to see me play. He was our mutual friend, mutual entertainment attorney. I had nothing to attorn, but we had him. So he brought him to see me play and asked if I would be, you know, to see if I would be his fiddle player, you know.
And that was here in Chicago?
That was here in Chicago. It was the Underground Wonder Bar. Lonnie Walker's Underground Wonder Bar, where I cut all my teeth. I taught myself guitar there. I taught myself how, I mean, I learned how to be a sideman there because I was just always like a front man, except for in the orchestra. I was just, you know, like play my violin, you know, crazy runs, and Devil Went Down to Georgia three times a day, and people thought I was a genius. But it really isn't.
Orange Blossom Special.
Orange Blossom Special. I'm embarrassed to say, did all that. But the real test of a sideman is to play less and to learn how to listen. And Michael taught me how to do that. So I was doing both with double duty, and you know, we fell in love. I was making a record at the time, and it was about to be kind of a big deal. I was about to sign with the biggest booking agency in the nation, and it had a cute little label ready for me to throw me out on the road, and then we were pregnant.
Hmm.
And so we just kind of froze, and then I just kind of chased her tail some more. I chased his tail, put it that way, and I followed him all over pregnant, and we gave birth off the road like 6 hours. I sat on the couch. We were off the road for 6 hours, and I gave birth.
Wow.
So then we just kind of went on the road from there, just, you know, doing his music, which is sustaining and fulfilling, as you can imagine. But then I realized, I never realized, I suppose, just like any women, I don't know how many, you know, if you have 50-50 women, men listening, or you know, what your constituency is.
I think it changes with our guests.
I'm sure. Yeah, well, Michael McDermott's going to be all women. He's a babe. Women and men love him the same. And you know, pretty much for all the right reasons, as far as I'm concerned. But so, you know, doing his music was fine and great and fulfilling to a degree, but because not because of my ego, not because I wanted to be famous. None of those weird things that are attached for people going into showbiz, especially mm-hmm. nowadays, you know. But I just needed to get my fingers on words, and my mouth and my strings around notes. I had to get some stuff out, and I didn't even know what it was I had to get out. But one day, Willie turned six, and she was in first grade. That was last year, and she went to school, and we had, like, a couple extra hours every day. It was just like, oh my gosh. My heart just beats. I could feel my heart beating faster, and I just thinking about that eureka. And so I just literally threw songs out.
So these are all newer songs than the one from the original project before you got pregnant.
Right. Well, that's, you know, with the exception, there are a few songs on there that were that were up for the first project that I did, you know, 9 years ago or 7 years ago, whatever. I lost track of time because I'm elderly now. We don't say that. You know, when you get older, the time just passes faster.
Mm-hmm.
So there were just a few songs, but most of them new and just like came out of nowhere kind of thing. And when I say came out of nowhere, this is kind of how my brain works. So, like, you know, writing a song about a man in a wheelchair, I have no life experience in it. I just saw a guy in a wheelchair, and I, you know, everything but fell to my knees feeling for him.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about what his, you know, infinite valleys and peaks must be. So, I just kind of spit a lot of stuff out, but it comes out weird that way. My brain's always kind of going nonstop. I overfeel and overthink everything. So,
speaking of feeling, let's play a song so the listeners can get a feel for your music.
Oh, you segued that so perfect.
I know, I'm the master of segues. And we're going to pick the opening track of your album, which is Did You Feel That?
Oh, that's not the opening track.
It's not the opening track.
Baby.
No, sorry.
Open track is Murphy's Law, but the first song that was released and in heavy rotation was, I say that laughing, Did You Feel That?
All right. Well, we're going to feel it right now. Heather will join us a final time on the other side. Check it out.
They say I'm obsessed. Clearly I am obsessed.
Well, that's the question of the hour. Did you feel that? I felt it. It felt pretty good, too. That's new music from Heather Horton on Don't Mess with Mrs. Murphy. And I wouldn't dream of messing. And I don't even think Michael would mess with you.
Oh, but he does. He does.
Oh, man. I'm looking so forward to seeing you guys. It's been a long time.
We are literally like two little kids, separately and collectively, when we see you, Tom, because we have some, you know, my history with you is really linked just specifically to our mutual friend, Neva, that I only know because of Michael. But Neva, our beautiful photographer and extraordinaire, he was and remains one of those special little energies that bounce around me, and I miss him so much. And when I see you, he's like, he's there. Because you loved him in the same way. But you're just so, you're so involved. You're so active. Michael and I talk about all the time. Like, you know, we see, we get emails, we get, you know, you're working it and you're reaching out and you're always connected to doing good things. And it's not about trying to make yourself look good. You're so selfless in the little things that I know from other people that you do. When you get down and dirty and with these animals, everything that you do, you are one of those people that are making a difference, and no one will ever realize it.
If everybody did something, the world would be a lot better place. And
if everybody did something. Yeah, we just have so much to counteract.
Well, you guys are doing something for sure. November 18th, you're helping the housing opportunities in Valparaiso. And it seems like every time you and Michael come to Valpo, it's almost at least once a year, it seems like you're here for a fundraiser in Northwest Indiana, helping a cause, whether it's Respite House, whether it's food banks, whether it's clothing drives. I mean, you guys are here for so many people. And your music, again, getting back to that, how music unites us, breaks down barriers, and makes the world a better place. And for that, I thank you.
I appreciate that, but I can't take really any credit for that. I'm just kind of there for it. I'm a sure thing, but I will say this about my husband, and it's not because he pays me, because he doesn't. that's why he married me, he says, so he didn't have to pay his
free labor
anymore.
Comes with the wedding ring.
But, But I will say his music, I don't have to say it. Anybody who knows his music knows it. It is the bridge between so many things, and it's, you know, he is a healer, and he is cathartic. And some of his songs, I tell him, I'm like, that's just cruel, because it's like, you're going to make someone feel really a lot of things. But it's always a good thing. And so these charities that kind of fall and invite him to be playing they know their stuff, and they know they know that that he's the bridge from the people to the event. So it makes me really proud to be there. I just get to stand there and hopefully look cute or something.
Well, I think you do a lot more than look cute when you pulled that violin out of the case, I'll tell you. And you're going to be playing as part of the band, correct? You're going to be there.
I am.
Are you gonna do any songs from either the new album, Don't Mess with Mrs. Murphy, or Postcard Saturdays, which came out a few years ago?
Just like because you asked for Junkie Girl, we're doing Junkie Girl. If you want something,
I want you to play for like 6 hours. Will you do that?
We could.
There's so many songs in your catalogs that I would just love to hear.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that, especially with his music. But anything you want to hear, you know we'll do it, Tom.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to have to let you go.
You let me go.
We got Steve Poltz coming up here in just a minute, but Heather Horton.
Oh, my gosh, that's so great. I just heard about him from a friend of mine. Paul Wimberger just texted me. Do you know this guy? Is he a comedian?
No. He's a singer-songwriter, but he is funny. He does have a humorous streak in his music.
Yeah, he's friends with our friend Dan Navarro.
Okay. Boy, it's a small circle. All of us are in the same little circle. I've talked to Dan every once in a while, too.
He's a great guy to talk to, too. But that's so funny. I was just turned on to this guy by a friend who will be at the show at Valpo.
Well, excellent. It's going to be a good show. Steve's a great entertainer. You and Michael, it goes without saying. And you can keep up with Heather online at heatherhortonmusic.com, in addition to michael-mcdermott.com. You can find all kinds of stuff about these great kids, and they got some good music, and you've got videos, and you've got all kinds of stuff there. So go there, learn about Heather, and then we'll quiz you when you get to the show. How's that?
You're the cutest, Tom.
Well, thank you.
I'm so grateful you exist.
What? That is the nicest thing I think anyone has said to me in like forever. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I mean it.
Well, we are going to let you go, and we will see you Saturday, November 18th with bells on.
Cannot wait.
All right. Thank you, Heather.
Bye, Tom.
HeatherHortonMusic.com is where you need to go. And again, November 18th, and it's helping out Housing Opportunities of Valparaiso. And we have Steve Poltz will be joining us in just a moment. But first, we're going to play a song so you get to familiarize yourself. As I like to say, let the music do the talking. This is Mother Russia. Steve, up next.